Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's hour two on a Tuesday, which means we just wrapped up with College Football Matrix Dave Barr 2. Get him on Twitter at CFB Matrix. Again, every Tuesday, bottom of hour one. Go the whole rest of the hour with Dave and talk mostly numbers and the effects that decisions, coaches and ADs, et cetera, make when it comes to recruiting, fundraising, transfer portal, players, agents, you name it. Dave covers all of it. So always love visiting with him on Tuesdays. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Matt Lowe from Lindy's coming on as we'll bounce around Southern football and talk about Lindy's, Athlon's. They're all coming out, man. Phil Steele, they're all coming out. So we're having Matt Lowe again from Lindy's on. And then also Andrew Hutchinson, who we talked to several times, covers the Razorbacks for Rivals. And we will get the latest coming out of Fayetteville and the Hogs from Andrew, bottom of the hour. But right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm Pain Relief Cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, five-star defensive lineman commits to Southern Cal. Whoa, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting that. He was going to go to either Ohio State or Alabama, or maybe he was going to Washington. No, that's a different kid. He's in the 2021 class. This headline is USC football has received a commitment from Michael Williams. Michael is a five-star defensive lineman in the 22 class. JT, is it? I think it's JT Tuamaloa. Large kid from Washington State, and he is considered, I think his final three are Washington, Ohio State, and Alabama. That's still for this year's class. And he hadn't announced, I mean, what's today, Tuesday? As of Sunday night, I checked, he hadn't announced. This is for next year. So Clay Helton, really, really tough recruiting outcome. If you go back just two classes ago, wound up top 10 with the class that we wrapped up 4 months ago in February. And this is a nice little springboard into the 2022 class. I have one more recruiting little tidbit to announce, but I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because I may run out of music. And so I'm just going to keep on talking. But there's another recruiting headline that I would have given, but it requires a little bit more conversation as an example. Headline, LSU loses cornerback commit. Yes, that is legally accurate. It could be misleading. I could have given you a headline from 3 years ago, maybe, I think. Yeah, 3 years ago. Four, 3 years ago. That Georgia suffers wide receiver decommit, and that was Elijah Moore. Coming out of high school, committed to Georgia, and then he wasn't. And y'all know this, I think. It was sort of a deal. Look, you have other offers. Yeah, am I still a priority for you? No, you're not. Would it be better for both of us? Yeah. And so you have that kind of conversation. You may have that conversation, Elijah. I'm going to talk to you as a man. We've got receivers that we want to give a scholarship to more than we want to give a scholarship to you. Well, why? Because you're as big as my pinky. And that's not really what we're going to be about at Georgia. Now, you can have your philosophy. It doesn't mean you always get it right. But when you saw that horrible news that Elijah Moore had flipped from Georgia to Ole Miss, that's not really what happened. Now, it's what happened. He was a Georgia commit, and then he wasn't, and then he was an Ole Miss commit. it was worked out. It was an understanding. It would make sense if, and I don't know the case here, but LSU football was hosting Marcus Scott II, cornerback out of Conroe, Texas. He's a three-star who has been, for next year's class, who's been committed to LSU since January. He camped at LSU a couple weeks ago and announced, what is it, announced Sunday, actually. I'm no longer committed to LSU. I am committed to Missouri. Oh, you lost a kid to Missouri? I don't know. Again, now, and I mean that literally. I don't know the details here. I know that a lot of times when you see a headline, LSU commit flips to the Tigers. It's not always what it seems. There are times, don't know if it applies here, that there's an understanding, there's a conversation, or the kid looks around the room and goes, I don't look like the rest of these kids. That happens. So Marcus Scott II was committed since January, showed up at LSU. I don't know. He had some experience with them. They had some experience with Marcus, and then the two are no longer committed. And he's happy to be heading to Como. So that is the eventual outcome, and you can fill in the details if you care for yourself there. So Marcus Scott, and it's a good pickup for Eli and the Tigers, three-star cornerback from Texas. Hey, we got him, former LSU commit. And that's how they'll pitch it, and that's fine. Not always exactly how they pitch it.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
There is something to be said for having a little folding money in your pocket, a little paper, a little cheddar. And as a probably 11 or 12-year-old, I was real handy with yard equipment and a lawnmower, and I started making my own money. And I can tell you, folks, hand of the Lord, one of the first times I actually went somewhere and spent my own money, again, I probably would have been like fifth grade maybe, and went to the mall, and I walked past Suncoast Video and Babbage's and Maury Luggage to a place called B. Dalton, and it was a bookstore. And I would buy my football preview magazines. I mean, I don't know what else a fifth grader really needs money for, but I needed college football preview magazines. And so I grew up on, for instance, Lindy's. And I want to welcome on right now a man with Lindy's Sports. I've been reading them for, I want to say, close to 40 years. Well, they've been coming out for 40 years. I want to welcome on Matt Lowe from Lindy's. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing great, Chuck, and like always, it's always a pleasure to join you, man.
Yeah, talk about the magazines and today's because we're going to bounce around and talk Southern football, but just the magazine industry and the fact that, I'll be honest, college football previews, there is something better about sitting on the deck, the pool, the patio with a magazine than trying to make sure that the glare from the iPad is preventing me from reading my Kentucky preview. It's one of those few magazines that every single year I'll go buy two or three of them.
Sure, and it is a struggling industry, to be honest, but we're hanging in there pretty tough. We still have a lot of people that enjoy our magazine, and there's something to be said for having something in your hand when you're at the beach so you don't get sand in your phone or your iPad or something like that. But, you know, this year it's over 300 pages long. Our top 25 teams, we have a two-page preview It's been somewhat challenging with the added year of eligibility to make sure everything has been accurate with players, because it's kind of funny to say this, some big-time programs actually don't have up-to-date rosters. So that's just one of those things where you got to go in and kind of do it yourself, and I kind of did that for somewhat. But a lot of people in the portal, too, so that's something that you got to pay attention to. And, of course, you can't track all these moves throughout the summer. We got to have a print date. But over 40 years doing this, and we still have a lot of people that enjoy the magazine, and we like putting it out.
Yeah, and I was talking about how when I was it might have been like 1985 or so, I was out in Houston, Texas for summer, and I saw at the airport different covers. And it was the first time I realized that, like, there was an LSU cover and a Bama cover and a Tennessee cover and a Georgia cover. And that's really one of the best localized things. In fact, I grew up in Atlanta. I had a buddy of mine that specifically would make sure he would be able to get over to Birmingham to get the copies with Alabama players on the cover. And so y'all still do that, correct?
Yeah, we do. We do. And I think that's one thing that makes our magazine unique. And, and it's funny, too, Chuck, like a Dallas Cowboys fan, they won't buy a Philly cover.
No.
You know, or, you know, a Falcons fan won't buy a Saints cover. You know, the rivalries in the NFL and college, too. I mean, they just won't pick up the cover if it's the wrong team.
And I want to tell everybody again, you get the traditional magazine from Lindy's. It's fantastic. You also get additional information, lindysports.com. All right, let's jump onto the field again. And as we get closer and closer to media days next month and the beginning of August camp, there are seeming to be fewer and fewer scenarios where Georgia doesn't represent the East. I mean, all the news that comes in, whether it's one program in the East losing a player or Georgia getting Eric Gilbert, it seems all the news coming in, it just makes me more and more convinced that Georgia wins the East. Give me your take on Georgia this season.
Well, yeah, we got them picked to win the East, that week one when they play Clemson, you know, either one of those teams could potentially lose that game and still make the playoff. Now, Georgia, there'll be added pressure. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Georgia program to win the national championship. So if they drop that game, I think that'll be upticked a little bit higher. And, you know, there's probably no margin for error the rest of the year for them to lose. And, of course, if they meet Bama in the championship game, which we expect them to do, they'll need to win that game or at least put on a good showing. So, I mean, we think they're geared to have that type of a team with JT Daniels back there at quarterback. Their defense is going to be top-notch once again, especially their front seven, anchored by the big nose tackle there, Jordan Davis. But, I mean, their secondary is retooling. You know, Tyke Smith, they added him from West Virginia. He was West Virginia's best defensive player. They added the kid from Clemson. But I tell you what, in that first game, you know, Justin Ross comes back for Clemson. You know, their receiver, he's probably a top 15 type of talent at wideout, and DJ Uiagalelei. So it'll be interesting to see that Clemson passing attack against that retooling Georgia secondary in that game, and see if Clemson will be able to run the ball against Georgia's defense, because Clemson's offensive line struggled, you know, against good teams last year.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, continuing with Matt Lowe from Lindy's. Let's talk UF. Can the Gators defense improve enough for them to be a real challenge for the entire season, potentially even win the division?
That's a good question. I think they got good active linebackers, Brent Cox and Ventrell Miller, and Zachary Carter is a guy that can get to the quarterback, but they don't have a lot of size up front, and they got pushed around in the run game last year. I think they gave about 170-something yards a game on the ground, and that can't happen if you expect to win the championship, especially with Georgia's, the type of running game we think Georgia's going to have. I mean, I think offensively, Florida will be okay. I mean, Emory Jones, their quarterback, you know, he's coming back, and Damian Pierce is a pretty good tailback. And I tell you, guy, Keymore Gamble, he played for them a lot last year. You know, he's a guy that I think at tight end could really step up and be one of the better tight ends in the country. But their defense is going to have to improve, dramatically for them to win the East this year, we think.
I want to ask the same question a little further out I-10, Florida State. What do you expect from their defense? Because it's the same thing. I look on the roster, and I'm like, all right, talented, 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 talented. They're getting pushed around. Talk Florida State defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just another area where, you know, they're rebuilding up front there. And, you know, they don't have a lot of size either. And I think that's the one tricky part of being a great team is you got to have a big defensive line that can stop the run. That's the number one thing you got to be able to do. I do like them getting – I'm interested to see what Mackenzie Milton can do. they're a quarterback for them. I think the kid's a winner, and his return to college football is inspirational. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to get better on defense. Last year, I think they gave up about 200 yards on the ground. So, again, I mean, if you want to compete for championships, you got to try to hold teams to at least 100 yards on the ground. And Chuck, nowadays, you know, it's all about offense and scoring points too. So if you can play, you know, solid defense, that's always a plus.
Yeah, I've started saying good enough defense. Not good sure. defense, just good enough or situational defense. Give me some red zone stops. Wrapping sure. up again, Matt Lowe from Lindy's. I do want to talk offense a little bit with Florida State. What's it look like if it's Jordan Travis at quarterback?
Well, I mean, they'll be more athletic. I mean, you know, Mackenzie Milton can run around too if his leg's all the way back, you know. But, I mean, he's a talented kid. I mean, and you know, I think, you know, with Mike Norvell and Kenny Dillingham there, they were at Memphis and they had a lot of success in high-powered offense calling plays and having a lot of success with receivers and the running game. So we need to see Florida State step up there. Ontario Wilson's a guy at wide out that they think is a pretty good player, and Deshaun Corbin there at tailback is a big kid that's got some talent too. But, you know, I think you'll start seeing Florida State make some steps, you know, in the right direction this year. You know, will it be enough to put them in the competing for a major bowl? I don't think so yet, but, you know, they're moving in the right direction under Mike Norvell.
Last team I want to ask you about is Miami, and I have been honest. I've called myself out because going into last season, and I set aside, you know, the backdrop of pandemic and everything, just talking about Manny Diaz, I was like, my misconception of him was, you're not the guy to fix a culture problem or a responsibility problem or whatever. I had an impression that he was just chest out and bluster and was not the coach to kind of right that ship. As far as 2020 is concerned, I was wrong about that. We got about a minute and a half left. Give me your impression of Manny leading the Miami program, what that's going to look like potentially over the next 5-6 years.
Well, I mean, they got to win the tight games. You know, that's always a kicker as far as being a good coach. I mean, you got to win the tight ones. And, you know, they lost some pretty good talent there up front when Jalen Phillips departed and Quincy yeah. Roche. So, I mean, they're going to have to replace those two guys. I think offensively they're going to score enough to be in every game. They don't play Clemson this year, which is a plus. You know, but they got to go to North Carolina. We think that's going to be a decider right there for that division, the Coastal Division. But, you know, Derek King, you're not going to find a more explosive player in college football. You know, Cameron Harris is also a really talented running back for them. But, you know, they're going to have to replace that pass rushing production that they got for those two high draft picks. And that might be tough to do. But, I mean, and they open up with Alabama. So they'll know where they need to go after that first game, after playing, you know, one of the top team in the country.
Folks, it is the traditional magazine. It is the online presence, digital, lindseysports.com. From Lindy's, it is Matt Lowe. Appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
All right, again, Matt Lowe from Lindy's. And I'll be honest, I'm not pushing magazines. I don't invest in Lindy's. But whoever it is, I've said, it's an experience. When I was in Fort Walton Beach back a couple of weeks ago, there's nothing to figure out about an iPad. And as long as you got your charge and you're under your umbrella or yeah, whatever, it's great. It's not like a magazine. And you also don't have to worry about – honestly, the magazine becomes disposable. You are probably going to – in most cases, you're probably done with the magazine by the beginning of the season. I'm not – as a reference, I always keep them all beside, you know, wherever I'm working. But it's an experience. And it's a convenience, and it's the kind of thing you may want to go back to and flip through real quick. And so it's just one of those things that I tell everybody, go spend $8 to get yourself a magazine. You'll get information. And with the updates online, and again, Phil Still does it, and Lindy's does it, everybody does it, the updates online, the rosters and the portal and everything else. So you get the information, but you certainly also get the experience, and that ain't so bad.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show rolling through hour two. I'm going to say one of my favorite guests to visit with. Does a great job covering Arkansas for the entire Rivals Network. He is Andrew Hutchinson. Andrew, brother, how are you today?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing all right. I'm sure that, you know, you've got pieces that you need to post, and so you're like everybody else. You kind of sit back and scratch your chin and go, what will I come up with today? Because that's what we do in May and June and July. Well, I do that as well. And one of the little exercises I do in the offseason is I'll go for each program, and I'll say, who's the second best? And for some programs, it's pretty illuminating because it leads to so many discussion. Treylon Burks, I think, is one of the best players in the SEC that like seven people know about. Who's the second best player on the Hogs offense?
Ooh, on the offense, that's a tough question. I would probably say right now you could go with running back Treylon Smith. He's a guy that, you know, a lot of last year everyone was all focused on Rakeem Boyd, and rightfully so. He had put up really good numbers the previous 2 years and turned down the NFL to come back for his senior year. Unfortunately for him, it never really kind of panned out for him. He had some injuries early on and just never really got into a groove and ended up opting out with like a game or two left in the season. But along the way, we really saw the emergence of Treylon Smith. He's a guy that started his career at Arizona State, spent a couple of years there, transferred to Arkansas, and he had to redshirt during the 2019 season. We heard a lot of praise about him. I think the previous coaching staff referred to him as a scout team Heisman, so it's pretty lofty praise. And then sure enough, he went out, and I think he finished with something like 700-something yards in the 10-game season, and that was, you know, splitting reps with Rakeem Boyd early on before really becoming the full-time guy. So he's a guy that's capable of being a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't know if he'll be all-SEC or anything like that, but he is a very capable weapon, and he's a guy that can also beat you in the passing game, too. He showed to be a very capable pass catcher as well.
You know, and he's one of the kids. I'm glad you brought him up because I did have a question about him. I don't know if, you know, your facts on file, top of mind, you know his height and weight, but every time I watch the Hogs and Smith was, you know, getting the ball, I looked at him. I'm like, he's not big enough to keep this up. He's just not big. He looks like a slot or a scat back or a third down guy. And I'm like, no, it's first down, and now it's second and six, and now it's third and two. He had kind of full-time duty a lot of Saturdays. And what is his size? Because he looks a lot smaller to be having that workload.
Yeah, I don't know his size off the top of my head, but you're right. I mean, he is kind of like a scat back. He's not your typical between-the-tackles runner. I mean, that's where I think Arkansas needs to find somebody, is who can be that guy on third and one to go get you that 1 yard. Yeah. Who knows? It may be KJ Jefferson, the quarterback, because he's a pretty big guy. So, yeah, he is pretty small, but I think the way they used him last year really utilized his skill set really well. More so than, you know, your traditional, you know, Rakeem Boyd, for example, you know, being more of a traditional running back, you know, between the tackles, bigger guy.
All right. I've got to ask a question here, and I'm not trying to be funny. I just think it's 2021. You work in media covering college football. I want to ask you about Jalen Catalan and Grant Morgan, but I haven't checked since last Friday. Neither has entered the portal, right? They're both still with the program.
They are both still with the program. Luckily, that they don't have to worry about that one.
Here is the issue, though. The further away from the ball you get, the more I kind of start to like the personnel. And that just doesn't get in the SEC. I mean, even it's not like the SEC from the 90s where you just line up and mash on people. But still, I mean, if you can't dig in and swing in the trenches, how much better will the defense be over the course of a full season? Because it was one of the stories a little earlier in the season last year, and then, you know, talent kind of wins out and depth charts and things as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the further away from the ball is how I feel better about the defense. You know, I have real concerns about that defensive line. You know, they've got to replace Jonathan Marshall, who very quietly was one of the best defensive tackles in the SEC. Obviously, he wasn't, you know, first team All-SEC or anything like that, but I thought he was capable of being a second team All-SEC guy. Consistently pressured the quarterback, you know, which is hard to do out of the defensive tackle position, but he really did a good job. And I just don't know who they're going to have to rush the passers at defensive end this year. They tried to address that in the offseason. They've added, I want to say, three defensive linemen from the portal, a couple of them from Missouri, so guys that Barry Odom, the defensive coordinator, is very familiar with. One of them is an Arkansas kid, so he's coming back home. That's always cool to see. And they also added a transfer from the FCS ranks, a kid from Illinois State. The name is Case Ridgeway, I believe is his name. He was a guy that was pretty solid at the FCS level, and all of a sudden, after going through the spring season, just kind of exploded with all sorts of big-time Power 5 programs coming after him. And so they're hoping that those guys will be able to come in and help that defensive line. But if they can get somebody that can pressure the quarterback, I think the defense will be improved this year. Is it going to be top half of the SEC? I don't know yet. But even if they could get close to that range, it would be, you know, a continued improvement, because they've been either at the bottom or near the bottom the last several years. So I think that having, you know, Jalen Catalon at the back end, having Grant Morgan, you know, still running things in the middle, that helps. I think they've got pieces in the secondary and at linebacker. Now, if injuries happen at linebacker, I would be pretty terrified. You know, Grant Morgan or Bumper Poole got hurt.
Yep.
But I feel a lot better about the secondary and linebackers than I do the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, Morgan and Poole, I mean, in a full 12-game season, that's 200-and-something tackles between those kids. I don't think I'm overstating that.
Well, I mean, they had 200-something tackles during
short season.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and that was without non-conference games, and
yeah,
that was with Bumper Poole and Grant Morgan both, I think, missing a game each with injuries. So, yeah, if they stay healthy, they're going to rack up a ton of tackles.
Yeah, you're right. That's not like 18 tackles against Arkansas Pine Bluff. Wrapping up with Andrew Hutchinson from Rivals, covers the Hogs. I just want to ask you about just a general feel, a take, because you're out there, and I'm just telling you what I think I saw. I can't remember. Now, they still weren't very good, and that's not me being critical. I mean, it's just what it was on the field. It's the roster. I don't know a bigger turnaround in mentality from one year to the next, because the offensive line, the running game, how defense in general, they were dogs last year. I mean, they hit you. They got physical. They got in your face. They still weren't that great. But it was a huge difference, like approach-wise, mentality-wise, my observation, than under Chad Morris the previous two seasons. I thought it was night and day. What did you think being out there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was completely different. I mean, during the Chad Morris era, there were multiple blowouts of, you know, 40 points. And, I mean, that was even to, you know, North Texas and Western Kentucky were blowing out Arkansas. And then we saw last year, I really think the only true game where they got embarrassed was against Alabama, which, I mean, it's Alabama. And so, I mean, even against, like, the likes of Florida, they put up some points. It was a blowout, don't get me wrong, but they were able to put up points on offense.
LSU.
LSU was a game they honestly probably should have won, because I think they ended up losing by three. They had a field goal attempt at the end of the game that would have tied it that got blocked. But that they played that entire game without almost their entire two deep on the defensive line because of COVID. So they were very competitive. They won three games and then had three other losses by a total of 7 points. And they easily could have gone the other way. And so they were much, much improved, competitive. You know, opponents had to actually try to win the game. They couldn't just show up and beat Arkansas. And I think that was a really positive step in the right direction, considering everything that staff had to deal with last year with COVID, not getting spring ball, inheriting the roster they did. I think that really kind of laid a solid foundation for this year. It's still going to be tough. Don't get me wrong. I think if they made a bowl game, that would be tremendous.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure they'll do it, but they did get a really solid foundation last year.
Last thing I want to ask you about, And honestly, you know, you're talking big picture with the program and the coordinators and all. Kendall Briles comes in, and there were some really good moments last year. But I almost liken it to, you know, I've told people with Dan Mullen, Kyle Trask was amazing. What a great season. That ain't what Dan Mullen does. Emory Jones is what Dan Mullen does. I don't think Felipe Franks is – like, you had this real big, strong-armed, grad transfer quarterback, smart kid with experience. Well, he was going to play, and you were going to do some stuff with him. I don't think Felipe is what Kendall Briles is. I think KJ Jefferson is.
I think you're right. I think they need a little bit more of a mobile quarterback. Felipe could move a little bit, but, you know, throw in the injury that he had at Florida – and, you know, he wasn't very fast, to put it nicely. I mean, he did run really well in, like, the comp, like, it wasn't the NFL combine, but pro day and stuff like that. But on the field, he wasn't like a guy that could beat you with his legs. KJ Jefferson is a guy who could beat you with his legs. Is he going to be accurate enough, I believe, is the big question. That was what made Felipe so great, is he actually broke the Arkansas single-season completion percentage record last year and broke it by a couple of percentage points. So that's going to be the big question with KJ, is he's got a good arm. Where is the ball going to go? But if he can be accurate, he could be a really dangerous threat back there because he is capable with his legs.
Yeah, and it should be a lot more fun. Andrew, good stuff, brother. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Andrew Hutchinson again covers Arkansas for Rivals. They're going to be fun to watch. They're not going to be very good because there's not a lot of talent 1 through 85 on the roster. And again, it's nothing against those kids there. They can play college football. Some of them probably shouldn't be on an SEC roster. They got an offer. They said yes. You know why they got an offer? Because Chad Morris couldn't get anybody better. And so, you know, you're all operating at your own personal 100%. I can take that. The goal is to up the sheer number of SEC caliber players. That's where Arkansas is. We want to get to where there are 85 SEC caliber players on this roster. Kirby, I don't think, had a stated goal of this, but, Blue Chip Index is out, right? Didn't you say we're having Bud on? When's Bud?
Tomorrow and bottom of hour two.
Bud Elliott coming on, and he does the Blue Chip Index, correct? And so Kirby, when he took over... Talk about different priorities and goals. One of the outcomes from Kirby taking over the Georgia program is Georgia is now part of the Blue Chip Index, which is like 11 or 12 or 13 teams each, whatever the number is, it's usually around there, teams that have at least half their roster with four-star or five-star recruits. That's not where Arkansas is. Arkansas is trying to have 85 players who should be on SEC scholarship. That's where they are. But man, that was a different looking product last year, and it will be even different and better this year. Still won't be good in a bowl game. But it's like I said, Felipe Franks, that's not what Kendall Briles wants to do, man. KJ Jefferson, sure. I play Prize Picks. Love me some Prize Picks, man. What fun during college football season. I don't play it any other time of the year. I got friends of mine that are playing Prize Picks during the NBA playoffs, having a blast. I wait till college football, play it every Saturday, love it. And I'm watching. I had Treylon Burks, and I had just over, because it was just going to happen. He's that good. And then I'm watching pregame on SEC Network because at Arkansas, I can still see it. Arkansas, Missouri, it was the 11 a.m. kick in Como. I think that was on the road. And... it ain't Felipe Franks out there. It's KJ Jefferson getting the start. And I'm like, what's that going to do to my Treylon Burks bet? And it didn't do anything. They put up 48 points on the road against a decent enough defense. KJ Jefferson, that's what Kendall Briles does. And you made the right choice with starting Felipe and figuring out and structuring some things to his strengths. I use it all the time. Don't be Rich Rodriguez with Ryan Mallett. Don't look at an NFL quarterback. You're in college. That's Saturday football. You have an NFL quarterback. That's Sunday football. Do you know how you win on Saturdays? You got a bunch of Sunday guys. Don't be Rich Rodriguez and look at a Sunday guy and go, yeah, I can't really do anything with you. Because even a ne'er-do-well like Bobby Petrino's like, I can. He went to the Sugar Bowl and should have beaten Ohio State. I'm trying to remember. There was like a blocked punt or something. Should have won that game. And then scoundrel Terrell Pryor was like, if you let me play in the Sugar Bowl, I'll start next season on suspension. Just kidding. I'm going to the NFL. See, that's where I am with Jim Tressel. I'm somehow defending Bobby Petrino. All right, we're going to take a break. Wrap up on a Tuesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
One of the things that we're always trying to do when we're establishing, and you call it culture, people listening may call it something else, but one of the things that we are always trying to do is reduce attrition, because most people don't understand how much time and money a coaching staff spends to get a letter of intent signed. It is ridiculous.
I've talked about it before, folks. The number one priority: get some processes set in place so you can then return to the actual business of being a coach. But number one priority, establish processes. Use the GAs and student assistants and whoever else. Establish your processes of how to reduce attrition. That's it. Reduce the number of players leaving that we then have to replace. You get a kid coming out of high school and he decides, I am going to take the scholarship offer at Virginia. Well, good for you. You're getting an elite education. I'm going to take the scholarship offer at Virginia. If he stays 4 years or even 5 years, you don't have to recruit. See, there's only 85 spots. One of them, well, we check that box. We will see that spot again in 4 years. Unless he transfers after 1 year, and then you have to go back and re-recruit that spot. You recruit the kid out of high school, he gets scholarship number 28. Then he leaves after a year. Well, we got to go back and replace 28 before we. So it reduce attrition, major, major, major advantage for a program, should be the priority. Like I said, you got to get it in place so you can get back to the, you know, actually being a coach every day. So appreciate Dave Bartu coming on. Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix joins us every Tuesday, bottom of hour one. Go to thepodcastpark.com, thepodcastpark.com, or wherever you get your podcast, click subscribe. You can hear Dave in every interview every single day. It just shows up. Dan Matthews be here in just a second, but right now I will wrap it up with a closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
If you are considering the impossible nature of a group of five rep beating three straight playoff teams and winning a national championship, a 12 seed or 11 seed or 10 seed or whatever seed, 12 seed, I'll pick that, would have to beat a 5 seed, and then it would advance as the lowest ranked seed to beat the number one seed, who had sat out and waiting on whoever it's going to play, and it will take on the lowest seed. And so you would have to beat a 5, a 1, and a, I don't know, a 3 or a 5, whoever. If you're thinking, how likely, how possible for a group of 5 rep to beat three straight playoff caliber teams and win a national championship, let me give you the scenario for Notre Dame. Not Tulsa. Not Memphis. Notre Dame to win one of those games. To beat one playoff team, Clemson, an undefeated Notre Dame team with elite coaching, a very good defense, a three-year starter at quarterback, and one of the nation's best running games needed to be at home with the opponent missing the best player in the game. And with all that, it still took three Clemson turnovers and overtime for the Irish to win. To win one game against a team like Clemson. Oh, and the biggest issue, more than any of the above details I've mentioned, the biggest issue is for Notre Dame to win one of those games, it had to not be an actual playoff game, a regular season game. Yeah, the elites, the greats, they play their best all the time. They play their best even more when it really counts. So for Notre Dame to win one regular season game against an opponent good enough to make the playoffs, that's all that it took. That math equation, this plus this plus this plus this plus this equaled an overtime win. And it wasn't even a real playoff game. So, yes, I am all ears when you're going to tell me how Marshall is going to put together a three-game streak against Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama. That is my closing argument, brought by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. You need legal expertise. You need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. What up, Dan?
You know, I think I found the single number that is the most impressive in terms of the Nick Saban coaching legacy at Alabama. When Fox College Football last night on Twitter posted an interesting graphic of teams and their record in ranked games since 2015. Chuck, are you aware that since that time, so the last six football seasons, Alabama has played 41 ranked games during that time? If you had to guess right now what their record was in said games, what do you think it would be?
Over how many seasons?
It's over six seasons, so 2015 to 2020.
And they played 41 games. Well, I'm going to say they probably have about six losses, and so I'm going to say they're 35-6.
Ding!
Was that it?
Like, it's not even that you're within the 100 points that you need for the Showcase Showdown. You're right on the number. That's a Price is Right record for you. So we'll have Drew
Carey. I get both Showcase Showdowns.
You get both Showcase Showdowns. You get every single prize. Whatever everybody else won from Plinko, it's theirs. But 35-6 during that time, you got to also factor in that Alabama, on a lean year for them in so many ways, is them just making the college football playoff. So then that with the SEC championship game in there is 14 games. Chuck, that's about half of their schedule is against ranked opponents. And the national championships are one thing. The recruiting is another thing. Just the stockpiling of talent that they have there in Tuscaloosa. But when you factor in that half of their schedule is against ranked teams, some of them maybe even on a particular year might be as talented as them, and he is only at most losing one of those games a year, that's incredibly impressive.
Maybe the biggest compliment for Bama and its 35-6 record versus ranked opponents, it's that the only way a program could get that record is by not having to play Bama. Like, that may be the biggest compliment you can give Nick Saban and where that program is right now. The only way you win all those games is by not having to play yourself. Wraps it up on a Tuesday, folks. Be back tomorrow with more of the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.